Professor Mary Jo Hatch from Virginia. It's very good for you to take a bit of time out of your schedule and talk to us today. You've done a lot of work in management and organization theory. You've written a best-selling textbook in the area. Why is it important for students of management to understand some theory?
Well, I think the theory gives you some enormous intellectual power. And if you understand how to theorize, you can use your own intellectual power to understand the things that are going on around you, to piece together explanations of the events that you're a part of, and to draw on your knowledge, because theories summarize our knowledge in a very compact way. And so we can carry much more knowledge around with us if we have a theory than if we don't.
I think that some of our colleagues are saying that it's very hard to teach management to people who've never been managers themselves. Mm-hmm. What's your view of that?
I think that's correct. I think that it's very important for students to, as quickly as possible, think of themselves as managers and put themselves into situations where they have to manage something. The good news is, although students may have not have worked in a formal management position, they manage their lives, they manage their careers as students, and so you can begin to think of yourself in managerial terms just using your experiences around you every single day.
Yeah, and I think using popular cultural artifacts like films helps a lot as well, because we all watch movies, and movies are often about management issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You've done a big textbook, Organization Theory, in which you look at theories through a number of different lenses quite systematically. Could you tell me a little bit about those, please?
The perspectives?
Mm.
Yes. We chose three out of the infinite number of possibilities, because I think three is a number that people can handle at once. Two tends to bifurcate, as we all know, causing you to think in dualistic terms. I was very taken with the postmodern move early on of simply adding a third to every duality to force my mind to open up a bit to other possibilities. And so I used three perspectives, and the three I chose were modernism, symbolic interpretivism, my personal favorite, and postmodernism. I think postmodernism is a real stretch for most people, even today, when many people have talked about it now, and it's a more familiar word than it was 10 years ago when I wrote the textbook. But still, I think people struggle to understand it, struggle to use it, struggle to just grapple with something that really is a mind bender. And I like to have postmodernism played off against modernism, first because that's the root of the philosophy in its own right, and secondly because it leaves some space for my personal favorite, symbolic interpretivism.
And how would you explain symbolic interpretivism for a student?
Well, I think the easiest route is to think about the symbols that we have floating around us. In cultural terms, everybody knows pretty much these days what an artifact is. But an artifact can carry meaning, and when it does carry meaning, it's a symbol. A flag is an excellent example of an artifact that has been symbolized over and over again and carries multiple strong meanings for most people, some negative, some positive. All sorts of meanings are embedded in that artifact. And I think that the symbolic interpretive perspective, the symbolic part of it in any case, carries that artifactual, that material aspect of the world around us and the meaning making that we do within it. The interpretive component is, I think, the really important issue of whose meaning and when do we make meaning, what kinds of meanings do we make, and how do we use those meanings to construct our understanding of the world around us. I think the most important thing to remember is that everyone who uses a symbol makes their own meaning with it, and that meaning doesn't have to stay the same day to day.
Well, that takes us very nicely into the next topic. Your more recent work, with which I'm familiar, is this marvelous stuff on expressive identity of organizations and corporate branding. No, it really is very good. We're very, very great fans of it in the book. Tell me about how organizations try to manage meaning, try to manage the symbols, try to express themselves through a specific branding or identity.
Well, I think the reality of the way people manage identity in organizations is different from perhaps what I would argue they should be doing. The reality is a very top-down, usually managerial approach to deciding what the identity of this organization should be and creating symbols around that wish and trying to communicate that wish to others and get them to fulfill it through their activities in the firm. I think a better way to think about identity is that an organization is a collection of people who think about themselves from time to time as a we. And that sense that we are something and the desire to define what that something might be, which top management clearly participates in, is a mechanism for giving rise to organizational identity. But it isn't just top management and it isn't just the employees. Organizations leave impressions on everybody that comes into contact with them. So there are a variety of stakeholders that play into the identity of the firm, and they're constantly telling people in the organization what meaning they're making with that firm. And so people take that in and it becomes a part of the conversation that results in a continuing ongoing dialogue that in fact produces this sense that we have an identity and here's what it is. Mm.
If you were to, just changing the topic, we've talked a little bit about the history of management ideas, we've talked about some of the work that you've done in the recent past. What are, if you would just to leave the students who are going to look at this video with some thoughts about what the ideal manager of the future should be, can you think of three characteristics that you'd like to pithily describe that manager with?
Well, I hope more often than today, he will be a she. Oh.
Okay.
My favorite definition of a manager is someone who knows something and remembers to use it.
Mm-hmm. That's very good.
And I think, you know, looking forward into the future, we've all been talking for years and years about the breakdown of the bureaucratic structures and the playfulness, which is why I think I still maintain a liking for the postmodern perspective. I think this is going to be a person who is able to make the work lives of others more meaningful. And the symbolic interpretive perspective clearly comes in there. They're going to be doing that a lot by a very sophisticated, sensitive use of the symbols that they help to create in the organization, but also respectfully use the symbols that others are creating around them. And I think we'll come to a much more sophisticated understanding of how to do that in the years to come. What I like about young people today is that they're kind of pre-wired for this because of the world that they live in, the high technology, the MTV life, the exposure to films and television. I think prepares you for an image-laden reality in a way that you and I probably didn't get prepared when we were younger. Mm. We sort of stumbled into the future a little bit blind, but I think the young people, at least the ones that I've been teaching, really understand in a profound and more essential way than we ever could what symbols can do. And so I look forward to seeing what they make in organizations.
Oh, look, I agree with those sentiments entirely. Well, thank you very much, Mary Jo. It's been really nice talking to you.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much.